This is Nature Notes, a Maine naturalist afield. I'm Glenn Middlehauser, an ecologist with Maine Natural History Observatory. This week, I talk with Linda Welch, a seabird biologist studying breeding colonies along the coast of Maine.
So I'm Linda Welch. I currently work as a wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at Maine Coastal Islands National Wildlife Refuge. I started with the Fish and Wildlife Service as a cooperative education student. And at that time, bald eagles weren't reproducing very well in Maine, and the state wanted to understand what were some of the factors limiting their recovery. So I looked at environmental contaminants in bald eagles. I started in 1991, primarily collecting blood and feather samples from young birds before they could fly. And then those samples were analyzed for contaminants. And we found lots of contaminants, unfortunately. A lot of the birds nesting in lakes, interior lakes in Maine, had very elevated levels of mercury. They primarily eat fish. On the coast, the bald eagles are eating fish-eating birds like gulls and cormorants, so they're a higher level of contaminant exposure because of that higher place on the food chain. And they had really elevated levels of PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, in the byproducts of DDT, even though that was banned in the 70s. It still was like, I don't know, 98% of the birds had byproducts of DDT. And they think that's because of the cold, acidic soils in Maine, that it wasn't breaking down as fast as it was in other places. When I started my project, I think the state just had just reached 100 pairs. And now they've stopped counting, but it's in excess of 800 pairs. So it's a remarkable recovery. And from there, I was offered a full-time job with the Fish and Wildlife Service. So I worked as an endangered species biologist. I was given the opportunity to move over to Maine Coastal Islands Refuge in 1998. You know, the ocean in the Gulf of Maine is warming so rapidly that the system is changing quickly. Ocean productivity is changing. The abundance and distribution of forage fish is changing. We're having years where, in some cases, like 90% of the puffin chicks die because the adults simply can't find enough food, or really large-scale mortality in tern chicks. And when I first started at the refuge, so this summer will be my 29th field season at the refuge, we would have, you know, 6 to 8 good years and then maybe a poor year. And now it's more poor year, poor year, poor year, an okay year. So the birds really do seem to be struggling with some of the changes that we're seeing, particularly with food resources.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these breeding seabirds are long-lived. You know, you've talked about being nearly 30 years doing this work, and it's like there's some of these birds, I think, have a lifespan approaching that.
Yeah, both Arctic and common terns and Atlantic puffins can live into their 30s. So the oldest known Arctic tern was banded in the 70s on Petit Manan and recaptured 34 years later on Petit Manan. As you said, they are long-lived species, so they can withstand years of poor productivity because they have a lifetime to try to replace themselves, right? To at least keep the population stable. So we don't get too worried about poor productivity every once in a while, but we are seeing decreases for species, particularly Arctic terns. And it looks like in maybe like the last 15 years, the Gulf of Maine population has decreased over 40%. And at the same time, common terns are doing very well. You know, to us, that indicates there's probably something happening either on migration or on the wintering grounds. We know that conditions are changing rapidly. And so maybe birds aren't surviving to come back. Maybe the juveniles aren't surviving.
How site faithful are the adults to come back to the same colony year after year?
We do have information on that because for many of the birds that are on the islands, we try to band them with unique numbers from the bird banding lab. But those bands are very hard to read through binoculars or spotting scopes. So for the Arctic terns, roseate terns, and Atlantic puffins, we put field readable bands, which are a combination of two letters and two numbers. And those are bigger text, so we can read those from a distance. So we have a lot of information on who returns to an island or who moves to a different island, because it's all in a big database. So quite often they will come back to the same island, but if conditions deteriorate, they will move to another suitable site. So they're willing to bounce around if they have to.
That was Nature Notes, a Maine naturalist afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.